This is KVNF's regional newscast for Wednesday, March 31st. I'm Gavin Dahl. Delta County School District's naming committee has narrowed down name options for the newly combined high school, bringing students together in Hotchkiss this fall. The top three names are North Fork High, West Elk High, and Fire Mountain High. The committee is made up of 10 students from each of the existing high schools, plus two staff members from each school, one teacher from Paonia and one from Hotchkiss, and 10 community members from each town. The Delta County Independent reports students and community members will now vote. Yesterday marked 1 year of Mutual Aid Distribution Day in Grand Junction. Mutual Aid partners and Grand Junction Mutual Aid say they have distributed more than 150,000 pounds of food to approximately 10,000 individuals and families in the past 52 weeks. The effort is all volunteer run and continues in the heart of downtown Grand Junction every Tuesday from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. in the parking lot of the Unitarian Universalist Church. The Bureau of Land Management has announced plans to protect the habitat of the Gunnison sage grouse in San Miguel County. The Durango Herald reports the BLM Tres Rios Field Office seeks public input on a plan that, once implemented, would last for up to 10 to 15 years. They plan to combat the growth of pinyon pine and juniper trees, which have encroached upon the bird's preferred sagebrush habitat. About 7,500 total acres northeast of Dove Creek would be treated over the life of the project. If approved, work would begin later this year. The Gunnison sage grouse was listed as threatened under the Endangered Species Act in 2014. It survives in pockets of southwest Colorado and southeast Utah at numbers as low as 5,000. A whistleblower complaint sent to the EPA's Inspector General yesterday seeks a federal audit of Colorado's Air Pollution Control Division of the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment. In the complaint, three state health department employees charged that Air Pollution Control Director Gary Kaufman directed employees to cease scrutiny at scores of facilities where industrial companies apply for and receive state permits. The three Air Pollution Control Division whistleblowers contend employees were also directed to falsify data at selected industrial sites, the Denver Post reports. Surges of harmful sulfur dioxide, nitrogen dioxide, and particulates, according to the complaint, contribute to Colorado's Front Range area annually flunking the federal air quality health standards set by the EPA. Colorado lawmakers shelved five voting bills from Republicans this week. As KVNF's Scott Franz reports, Democrats blasted them as dangerous attempts to make it harder to vote.
One of the measures would have made everyone prove they were citizens before they could even receive their ballots. Democratic Representative Chris Kennedy says he hasn't seen any evidence the current election system is allowing non-citizens to vote.
So before we go through something quite as significant as yours, where 4 million voters would have to go in person to a clerk's office to verify their citizenship, I'd like to see more evidence that there is an actual problem out there.
Lawmakers also nixed proposed audits of voting systems and a move to give state lawmakers more input on voting equipment. Meanwhile, Democrats are advancing a bill to create a new statewide hotline to help people translate ballots to languages other than English. I'm Scott Franz at the State Capitol.
A recent survey found Asian Americans experienced more harassment than any other racial or ethnic group during the coronavirus pandemic. Mountain West News Bureau's Robin Vincent spoke with Asian Americans in our region about the rise in anti-Asian racism.
The recent mass shootings in the Atlanta area that left eight people dead, including six women of Asian descent, focused attention on the rise of anti-Asian racism.
And with all the generations represented here, we can fix this.
Pasha Eve is a Korean American community organizer who spoke at this anti-Asian hate rally in Denver.
It was a lot of clenched jaw, tears rolling down our face, fierce determination, grieving.
She's spoken at dozens of community-organized events over the years, but this is the first time she got emotional during her speech.
And I wept for these women, and I wept because I was not surprised when I got news that this had happened at all.
The news was also no surprise to Jennifer Ho. Ho studies race and ethnicity at University of Colorado Boulder and is the daughter of Chinese immigrants.
I thought, yeah, this is what it means to live a life of precarity and vulnerability as an Asian American person.
Authorities haven't ruled the Atlanta shootings a hate crime yet. The suspect blamed his sex addiction for his attack on three Asian American-owned spas. Ho says a tendency to dehumanize Asian American women is inextricably linked to racism.
It's happened since the first wave of Asian, in this case Chinese women, entered U.S. shores. It's the association of Asian women with sex because they were forced into sexual servitude.
Ho draws a line to racist policies of the past enacted against Asian Americans. Take the Chinese Exclusion Act of 1882 that barred Chinese people from immigrating to the U.S., and then the internment of Japanese Americans in incarceration camps across the West during World War II.
That was acceptable to an American public because there had been almost a century of anti-Asian propaganda leading up to it.
That's Ora Newland. Her great-grandparents and other family members were imprisoned at one of those camps in Heart Mountain, Wyoming. Newland studies sociology and anthropology at Wyoming's Northwest College. She says, fast forward to the COVID-19 pandemic today, and the words of our former president.
The China virus.
Kung flu. The Wuhan virus.
After Trump first tweeted Chinese virus, the use of that hashtag and other anti-Asian hashtags skyrocketed. Meanwhile, over the last year, the Center for the Study of Hate and Extremism reported a nearly 150% rise in anti-Asian hate crimes across 16 of America's largest cities.
I just knew it was a matter of time.
That's Korean-American artist Argus Paul Estabrook. He's been anticipating an attack like the shootings in Atlanta.
It's sickening because people are dead, and it's squarely because of this snowballing effect of hate and misplaced blame.
The New Mexico photographer launched the project I Am Not a Virus last November. It's a stirring collection of self-taken photos and words from Asian Americans who've experienced racism since the onset of the pandemic. He says, as an Asian American, he grapples with invisibility.
Often, I don't have a voice, quite frankly.
And he says when he and other Asian Americans do have a platform,
we have to always have a good face on to be respected or taken seriously.
Estabrook has struggled against the pervasive myth of widespread Asian American success, often called the model minority stereotype. It portrays Asian Americans as a monolith and is used to dismiss the reality of racism against this incredibly diverse group. Estabrook says during the pandemic, the pressure he's felt has been stifling.
The idea that you have to always be like 110% or even higher, and doing that in isolation to pretend that this hateful rhetoric isn't affecting you, it's just so difficult.
Estabrook has faced a lot of racism over the years, but he says the recent rise is overwhelming. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Robin Vincent.
That does it for KVNF's regional newscast. Special thanks to Kate Redmond. I'm Gavin Dahl.